I gotta go.
Love Talk Radio.
I'm on the
air. I'll do whatever I can.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio Graves, calling to you live from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do every Tuesday at noon Eastern. And I, as usual, I also have my co-host, Jennifer Carter, on the air with me. Jennifer, are you here today?
Hey, Gina, good morning. I sure am.
Yay!
Excited to be here. How are you?
I feel much better now that you were able to get unmuted and get on the air with us.
I wouldn't miss it. My goodness. Gina, so now before we get into anything, you are on Florida. I am in California, and I want to find out what's been going on. There has been so much going on between from your state to mine over this past week, and we have a lot to talk about this day because the summer is gearing up to be, I think, one of the biggest, I don't know, internet marketing summers ever. But let's get some niceties out of the way. How's your week been?
It has been an incredible week. As you know, I lost my little 17-year-old puppy dog, Peachy, 2 weeks tomorrow, or 2 weeks this Thursday. And that was really hard. Oh, goodness. It's probably one of the hardest things I've had to do in a very long time. And so last week, as Mother's Day kept getting closer and closer, I said, oh, honey, I really don't know how I'm going to do Mother's Day without Peachy Dog. So last Wednesday, Bill decided that he was going to go and start looking for a new puppy for us. So he asked me where he should go. I said, well, the Humane Society, of course. So he went there, and on his way, I went, you know, I should have looked online to see what I could find. So I went online. I put in Adopt Terrier. I was in Tampa, Florida, so I added Tampa, Florida. And up came this cute little picture of this furry little black thing. But it said Schnauzer Bichon Frise Mix. And I'm like, but I really wanted a terrier. How did I get this? But he looked like a terrier. So I quick called Bill. I'm like, hon, you got to try this other place instead. So he did. The first and only dog he found. And it's the one we ended up adopting the next day. This little guy is so amazing. I don't even know how to begin describing him. He is the most incredible little puppy dog I've ever met. He's between 1 and 2 years old. He's a rescue, so it's hard to tell exactly how old he is. But we had him at the vet yesterday, and the story of how he came into, it was Animal Services Kennel, how he got there is incredible. He was first spotted an hour after my little Peachy dog passed away in Port Charlotte, Florida, which is where my Peachy dog passed away, and where he eventually ended up on Monday when he got picked up by Animal Services was in Tampa, 70 miles away, which was where I happened to end up that same day. How that happened, I couldn't tell you, but it was truly fate bringing the two of us together because he reminds us so much of little Peachy Dog. And I mean, right down to having him at the vet yesterday, little Peachy had a very unusual heartbeat. It wasn't something that was life-threatening or caused any illness. It was just an unusual heartbeat, like one in a million kind of heartbeat. The vet did a double take listening to new little Fritz's heart yesterday because he has the exact same unusual heartbeat.
Really? Well, there could be something to that. You know, I know that the little puppy, gosh, I know that this has both been a really hard and tragic time, and then it has turned into an incredibly moving time. But I'm glad that you're sharing this today, Gina, and I have a couple more questions because I saw pictures of your little Fritz, and he's a cutie pie. He's so cute.
He is.
You know,
and everything about him is just, it's really unusual. There's just no other way of saying it. He is probably the most perfect dog I could ever have hoped for.
What is unusual about him?
Little things. Like, yesterday we had him at the restaurant that we like to eat at that allows dogs. Not my cousin's, but another one. So he's sitting on my lap. And as he's sitting on my lap, they're serving my food, they're putting it on the table. His body is about an inch from the food. He just sat there with his little head on my lap, never even sniffed the table. So I thought, well, maybe he's just not liking food or something. So I would take the food off my plate and hand it to him, and he loved it. But he would not make any motions to go towards the food unless I brought it to him. Now, that's just not normal for a dog. Everybody in the restaurant kept going, how did you train him to do that? I'm like, I don't know. And I really couldn't tell you. It's just that's how he came. So little things like that. And little things that only PT Dog would have known about. This little guy really knows. Like, there's one little spot on my leg that PT Dog used to lick all the time. And it's a very specific spot that he would lick at very specific times. From the moment that Fritzy came home, he does the exact same thing on that exact same spot.
Really? Wow. Dogs are very, I don't know if intuitive is the word, but they can
say it is a good word.
About people.
Yes.
Well, more so than we can. More so than
absolutely. Absolutely. And it's weird because the Monday before PT passed, I had been working with Stephanie Frank, who's an efficiency and productivity expert, a systems person, and basically she was there helping me to better systemize my business so that I could reclaim my time and become more productive. And you remember we were talking about that. And as she left me on Monday after spending 3 days with me, she said, you know, you're really starting an entirely new chapter in your life and business. Can you even feel how different it feels? And she was right. It felt so totally different. And from that point till today, a whopping, 10 days or so, it has been a series. No, I guess it's more than that. It's 15 days. A series of doors closing and doors opening. And for every door that's closed, like 3 have opened. And it does. It feels different. Everything about it is different. From ordinary everyday things, like I used to be at the computer so much and on the phone so much that the first chance I'd have to leave my house today was like 11 o'clock at night, at least 5-6 days a week. Well, with little Fritzy, he won't go outside and go potty by himself just on the leash when I'm holding him out the door. You have to take him for a walk. You know, I have left my house at least 5 times a day, every day, since I got him last Thursday. And I'm able to do that because of this new chapter that I'm in with the efficiency and productivity that Stephanie showed me. So from ordinary little things like that, to big things, like I've probably cut another, since last Tuesday's show, another 7 joint ventures since then. Every one bigger than the last.
Another 7 joint ventures.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It's just sometimes what's interesting. I hear you talking about this, and you're talking a bit about this last week, and I know your schedule, which is always crazy busy, but now you've made this big shift towards focusing more on you, and gosh, all of your time is more efficient. I think that's what I'm going to say. It's more efficient, and it's not as, you know, it's not 24/7 scheduled, which it was before, except it's less it's scheduled for you. And there's this shift. It's sometimes the little things that make all the difference, that make the biggest impact on our businesses and our lives, once we discover what those shifts are. And you were amazing when I first met you and your business was, et cetera. But you're going to a whole new level now, so it's interesting. Oh, gosh, it's great to be a part of that and to watch this happen with you, you know, in your business life, your personal life, and just continuing to move forward and up in leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. And, you know, joint ventures used to come my way all the time just because that's what I do, right? But the joint ventures would be, you know, 5 figures. Really big ones would be 6 figures. Well, in the last 2 weeks, we're not talking 5 figures. We're not talking 6 figures. We're talking 7-figure joint ventures. And yesterday, an 8-figure joint venture.
7-figure and 8-figure joint ventures.
Yeah.
We're doing the math. 7-figure, we're talking $1 million, right? That's my math.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
8 figures would be $10 million. Okay.
Right. And there's one in the works. That's 9.
Jeez, woman. All right. You have, that you're a part of, you have all of us salivating, and so I want to know more about this, because one thing, I think you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, you said, you know what, I am a connector, and you are. You know somebody who's who. You were at an event last weekend where there were a lot of connectors in a room, right? That's one of the biggest things about it, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that. And then you have some things coming up that are going to help other people be the kind of connectors that you and some of the examples we'll talk about today are in order to create these kinds of 6-figure, 7-figure, 8- and 9-figure joint ventures. Which is,
can you believe, I'm just flabbergasted by it myself, so I can only sit here giggle and smile because it's just such an incredible time.
So you can giggle and smile all the way to the bank, and then as you relax and walk out your front door down to the beach with little Fritz and with your husband, and just enjoy it. Because, you know, and Gina, that's what all of us, both you and I talking and those who are listening, you know, that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to create those huge businesses, which joint ventures has got to be a big part of it. We're going to do anything big on the internet or otherwise, even in other business. You've got to learn how to do great joint ventures. And then you've got to be able to balance it with your personal time and enjoy the time of loved ones, which, you know, you've had some big shifts in that lately as well.
Right.
So,
and, you know, you've heard me say this so before, but I'm going to say it again. Money is not something that drives me very well. I have enough of it. And when you have enough of it, I just don't necessarily need more of it. Would it be nice? Sure. But it's certainly not something that's going to make me get up and do more, right? What gets me excited is touching more lives and making a bigger difference. That's what really fuels me. That drives me. That's what would keep me up late at night and wake me up first thing in the morning, is helping more people have a bigger impact, that kind of thing. And my mission, as you know, has been to help 1 million people learn to live the life of their dreams by building a business that uses the power of the internet and that has those 3 distinct components. More than anything, it's about living the life of your dreams. The vehicle that you use to do that is building a business, not one that's online or offline necessarily, but one that truly harnesses the power of the internet to make it have a bigger impact. And as I go forward with all of these different things, I really have to change my mission, because it's really going to be very quick for me to reach 1 million people. And if all of these joint ventures go through to fruition the way that they all should, I will probably reach somewhere in excess of 5 million people in the next 12 months.
Hmm. Well, that's
5 times bigger than what my mission was to start with.
Well, they say when you shoot for the stars, at least you're going to catch the moon, and then I guess if you shoot beyond that, then you can catch a star or two as well.
There you go. So I more than likely will be revising that mission so that I can shoot even higher. When I first set that as my goal, it really, it sounded big. It sounded so huge. I was connecting to, what, a couple thousand people at the time? So 1 million people, when you're connected to a couple thousand, that's really big. And now, as I'm connected to, oh, probably more than 500,000 people now that I have served over the last 2 years. And as I move forward in touching more than 1 million people in the next 90 days, it doesn't seem as big. So I was thinking back then when I first set that goal, wow, I can't make it 10 million people. That's just not even reachable. Nobody could do that. Huh. Right. Well, maybe I should have shot a little bit higher. And that's kind of where I'm thinking the next level is going to be is, why not make it 10 million people and do my best to reach it?
Well, here's the thing. If you can see the vision and you can plan backwards, as you always, always do, you can reach it. And it takes, you've got to have an idea as to, first you've got to just see it, right? You don't have to have all.
Right,
you've got to
see it, correct.
Okay. And then once you see it, I think some of the answers start coming, but you've got to take some action and put some kind of a strategy on there that's going to, okay, if I'm going to reach, let's say, 1 million people, you know, what would I have done to get to that 1 million, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes you don't have all the answers, but sometimes you run into the people or the information or whatever that do. So
right.
I'm curious, can you share with us how you have, again, you went from, never heard about you being at a few hundred people, but a few thousand to tens of thousands to well more than that, and now you're on your way to reaching and exceeding your 1 million goal, helping 1 million people living the lives of their dreams by harnessing the power of the Internet. And the, you know what, Gina, it's not just about making all the money, but it is, hey, the money is there and it's set so that you can live the life of your dreams. Then
right.
Make the impact that you want, living the life with your family, doing what you want to do in the community, in your country, in your world, whatever it is that's important for you.
And see, that's what the money's about for me is, if I have that kind of money, how much more good can I do?
Exactly.
Right. So it's not just how much more can I have for myself. There's a big difference between the two. The joint venture of the week for me is one that... never even thought that this one could potentially happen. And so it's more meaningful because of that. Back when I went through my miraculous transformation, the one person that had the greatest impact on me and going through that transformation was a woman by the name of Dr. Jill Ehrman Wexler. Dr. Jill is one of the world's foremost brain researchers. She studies the connection between the brain, the mind, and the body. In other words, the science behind the law of attraction, the laws of the universe, and that kind of thing. And when this massage therapist had told me, you know, all you've got to do is remove the negativity from your life, I set out to figure out what that meant. And figure out how I would apply that. What do I need to do? And as I did, I started finding different things that were written by Dr. Jill. I can vividly remember being in a little town in Utah called Cedar Breaks, Utah, and going to a bookstore where I happened to stumble into because my computer broke and I was really on my way to an office supply store next door to it to find a way to fix my computer. I went into this office, this little bookstore, because the office supply store was closed for 15 minutes because their employees were on break. And as I was thumbing through books on the shelf, I came across one by Dr. Jill. And it was fascinating. And from that point forward, I started over the, this was like the first week of the whole transformation. I had left Sedona. The next stop I made was the Grand Canyon, and Cedar Breaks is on the north side of the Grand Canyon. So as I learned the information that was in this book, I went, you know, I should see what she's got online. And I went online, and I did some searches for her name, and she just had so many articles and so much stuff about how you use the brain to fuel the body. And so I read everything and anything I could get my hands on. And I truly believe that had it not been for everything I found from Dr. Jill, I really never would have been able to figure out how to go through that miraculous transformation, how to cause that to happen. Fast forward a couple years later, I was at a JV Alert. I was one of the panelists, as I always am, and get down from the panel, and this woman comes up to me, she taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, she holds her hand out, and she says, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Dr. Jill Amon Wexler, and I came here just to meet you.
Really?
And as soon as I heard the name, tears start flowing down my face. I couldn't even say hello. I couldn't even shake her hand. I just grabbed her and hugged her as hard as I could because she did not even know the kind of impact that she had made on my life. We'd never met. We had never talked.
Ah, you'd not contacted her before then?
No, I just read her stuff.
Wow.
So her reason for being there was that she was getting ready to launch a new book. And she came there to see if I would consider brokering the joint venture for the launch of her book. Well, this was about 2 years ago. And since then, we have become good friends. We've done a couple of small joint ventures together and that kind of thing. So she had contacted me in February of this year to offer me the opportunity to purchase her business. She wants to get back into doing corporate work and working more one-on-one with people. She really misses that. She has probably 20 to 25 information-based products out that really are phenomenal products. They're different courses and ebooks and audio and membership sites. I mean, she's got a wide gamut of things that help people to use their brain to achieve more. But she really misses really causing an effect to happen one-on-one with people. She's helped people from Supreme Court justices to opera singers to Olympic gold medalists, people from Silicon Valley. I mean, just huge names that everybody would recognize attribute their success to Dr. Jill's strategies by working one-on-one with her. So she came to me in February and asked if I might be interested in purchasing her business so that she could be assured that someone would really serve her people so that she would be freed up to go back to corporate America. And I've been thinking about it ever since then. I would absolutely love to have the ability to have her great products be a part of what I offer to my audience. But I just couldn't find a great way to harmonize her stuff and my stuff so that it wouldn't mean a lot more work for me. Well, when Stephanie came into my world a few weeks ago and we really started getting to know one another, it all of a sudden dawned on me one day that Dr. Jill has the science behind the law of attraction and the success principles. Stephanie has the application of that science, and then my things add this other unique element of once you've got the science and the application, how do you harness it to really cause that growth to happen quickly? That's how my stuff adds to it. And I said this to Stephanie, and Stephanie was like, you know, I've got Success IQ University, but all of our products start at a couple thousand dollars and go up. We don't have any lower-end products to make this affordable for the masses. And she doesn't have the background herself to be able to talk about the scientific side. So she said, you know, if we could find a way to do something, that would just be phenomenal. So yesterday we put that joint venture to bed. We have entered into a strategic alliance with all three of us, Dr. Jill, Stephanie, and I, that allows all of us to offer one another's products using our own products. So I can include Dr. Jill's products as bonuses for mine. We're talking about taking some of our products because, like, all three of us have a goal-setting product, for example. And instead of taking three separate goal-setting products and selling three of them, we're putting them all together into one. Can you imagine a goal-setting product that talks about the science of setting goals, the application of setting goals, and then, okay, what do you want to do once you do set those goals, and how do you use your goals to build a strategic plan for a business?
I think that's huge and hugely important. One of the guests that I was interviewing on another show I have last week was talking about the beliefs and a little bit law of attraction, and the point being, I think unless people understand the science behind and gosh, does it really work when you set goals, when you have things, visions, goals, desires that you want? I believe, Gina, that without really understanding it or seeing some kind of evidence of it, I think some people have a hard time really working towards them.
So I agree.
Able to combine all three, I think magic would happen.
I definitely agree. And Dr. Jill talks about goals by saying that you become the person that owns your goal. So it's not so much that you try to achieve the goal. You first create the goal in a way that it is real, it is tangible, and then you become the owner of that. And the way that she does that from a scientific perspective is just brilliant, and it makes it so much easier to see it and then own it. And as you do that, you really do achieve it. And so to be able to use those strategies and formulas for success, I think for my audience and my subscribers and my tribe, if you will, is just going to be phenomenal. So that will mean things like I can get Dr. Jill and Stephanie on this show with us anytime we want. We can get them into teleconferences. We are already working on putting together a coaching program that will have all three of us taking all of our unique aspects of the same thing and putting them together in a way that will really help people to get huge results in very, very short time periods. And that's just really cool. So if I can really reach even more people, not just the million that I originally set out with, but really do more like 5 to 10 million people, while at the same time being able to offer them something that can help them get even bigger results, even faster results, how huge is that?
It's huge, and I think you need to get them on the show as soon as possible.
Okay, we will do that. Maybe 2 weeks from now?
2 or 3 weeks from now, yes, because we have a whole series of great guests coming up. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I will plan on that. Maybe we'll do it for my birthday. My birthday is June 5th, so maybe that week. I think that's June 2nd, if I'm not mistaken.
That is June 2nd, so perfect.
Okay, so we'll shoot for Stephanie and Dr. Jill being here at noon Eastern on Blog Talk Radio's Relationship Marketing 101 on Tuesday, June 2nd. Mark your calendars, everybody, because that's going to be one heck of a show.
Okay, so Gina, that is another huge joint venture that you've put together, and you mentioned several others in the works. Are there any others that you can talk about a little bit and then that you can share with us? All right, so we want to put together these joint ventures. How do us mere mortals start working towards doing just that?
Okay, so a couple other examples. So Saturday, I'm on the phone with a woman that I consult with, like I call her when I need help, that kind of I consult with, who helps me with traffic. And anytime I'm trying to boost my traffic or play around with some of my strategies, I pick up the phone and I call Deborah. I was on the phone with her and one of my students. His name is Steve Holmes. Steve has a site called BoomerCo.com through which he offers a whole bunch of different things. Steve and I have been working together for about a year, and one of the things that had really kept him small and kept holding him back was he did appear to be so scattered in his approach. His main business had been a web services business where he would develop websites for people. At the same time, he and his wife, Ann, also opened a new site called Boomer Lifestyle, that was all about serving baby boomers and helping them to have better lives. He also had a site called QuadCities.com that was a local information portal that was all about the Quad Cities out in Illinois and Iowa. And all of them were scattered. They didn't have a similar audience. They had no way of harmonizing with one another, which meant just by necessity, But as he built those businesses, he needed different streams of traffic to each and every website. He had to work a lot harder instead of working a lot smarter. So a month or two ago, Steve really had, I had been harping on him big time about harmonizing all of it. And he had this dream one night, and in his dream, he got killed by aliens. And when he woke up the next morning, he had this massive aha moment that really helped him to find a way to harmonize everything he had been doing. And what he realized was that it really was harmonized already, but he hadn't put a nice, neat little label on it. So he decided that what he really was a publisher. He was a publisher of information and training materials using a WordPress platform. Now, he could both publish things for himself and publish things for other people. And if you look at that label, that's exactly what he's already doing with all these different things. But by giving it that label, he now has a way to harmonize it to the point that product A can drive traffic to product B, and product B can drive traffic to product C, and all of that stuff. So while I was talking to Deborah the other day, I had mentioned that Steve was working on a series of WordPress plugins that were really going to make a huge difference in my traffic. So as we talked about it, she had a couple of questions, and she said, well, can I ask Steve a couple questions? I'm like, sure, let me get him on the phone. So get Steve on the phone. And that morning, Steve had just told me about a brand new plugin that he's getting ready to release that I truly believe will revolutionize how blogs are monetized today. It was something that he had prepared as a surprise for me. It's something I have wanted for a blog for a couple of years that I have mentioned to more than a couple dozen developers, and nobody has bothered to run with it. And what it does is I wanted a plugin that could take either tags on your blog or categories on your blog, and based on the tags and categories of a particular post, display different items on the sidebar. So let's say, for example, somebody found you in the search engine and they found a specific blog post. So they click on the link and they end up on your blog. What I wanted to display in the sidebar was a product that was a resource for the topic contained in that blog post, not just whatever was in the sidebar. That will just totally change how much money a person can make from a blog. And Steve has found a way to do this.
The product would change according to the post in the sidebar or according to what a person searched for that brought them to the post?
It would change based on the post that the person landed on.
Gotcha. Okay. Well.
So either the tags or the categories, and it can even work off of a page of the blog instead of a post. So we get on the phone to talk about this, and Deborah asks Steve, well, are you planning on selling this, or are you planning on giving it away for free? And Steve says, well, I'm going to make a very basic version of it available for free. But for the most part, you know, this is so powerful, my plan was to sell it. And Deborah says, well, I wouldn't sell it. I'd give it away for free. And Steve starts defending himself, explaining why this is so valuable. And Deborah's like, yeah, I get that. It is that valuable. She said, but what if for free people can use the whole thing, except that for every 3 to 4 ads that they display of their own in the sidebar, it would display one ad of yours. And Steve's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. So I said, well, Steve, better still, what if, you know, some people are not going to like the idea of you putting ads in a sidebar. You know, what is in it for them when you do that? I said, even if it's free, then they're not necessarily going to like it. I said, so what if instead what you display in the sidebar, they can then go and get an affiliate ID for? So there is something in it for them even when they're displaying an ad. And if they really don't want that ad, then charge them something for it on an upgrade. So that's what we decided to do. Just because Deborah had some questions about how I would use this to drive traffic, we end up putting this joint venture together so that the product displayed through that sidebar is going to be my product, so it'll be the challenge primarily. Anyone using the plugin will simply be able to get an affiliate ID for it so that they can make money from it. Steve will get an override commission for having referred that person to me. And now we've got a way to drive even more traffic. So Steve was so tickled with this joint venture, he says, you know, wonder if Deborah could help me with any of the other stuff I'm working on to be able to make more money, because it really will make so much more money for everybody. So he starts explaining to Deborah the other things that he's doing. And before you know it, we realize that I have another site that I'm working on that is identical to a site that Steve is working on that becomes something we want to do to serve the same audience and help people who are out of a job. It's a site that would really help people both find jobs and find ways to build businesses instead of getting a job. So we end up putting that joint venture together during that same phone call. In fact, the site will be up probably this afternoon. That's how fast we're working on it. And as we started exploring ideas for how we were going to build that site, what we would do with it, what possibilities existed, it hit us both that Steve has yet another thing that he's doing with this QuadCities.com site that is a perfect match for David Preston. Remember David Preston, who was on the show a month or two ago?
Absolutely. He's the one that helped merge offline businesses with the online world and increase the success of both.
Exactly. And he has a system that people can use to tap into offline businesses and bring them to the internet. But when he's doing that, the people that use his system don't necessarily have an advertising medium that all of their clients can use. They simply create different websites for their clients, and that's about it. Well, with what Steve has at QuadCities.com, Steve's been talking about creating duplicated sites across a number of different cities all over the globe and licensing those to other people. Well, with this idea of a job board, we got this great idea that we could use it to put job board ads in all of these different portals for all of these different cities. Really helps even more across the globe. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. What if the people using David Preston's system had access to one of these licensed portals that Steve creates that are just amazing? How much better would they be able to serve their small business owners that they're bringing to the internet when they instantly had a vehicle that they could plug them into that would increase their search engine rankings, help drive even more traffic, all these other great benefits? It would be huge. And it even gives them an easier way of being able to reach small business owners just by having their presence in this portal. So we're already on a three-way call with me and Deborah and Steve. By now it's getting too big. Now we got to jump onto a bridge line. I quick call David, say, David, get on my bridge line. It's hurry, 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 hurry. And by the time we got off that part of the call, we had a whole nother joint venture put together between David and Steve, and because of the addition of the job board that also included me, and we also will be using the 30-day challenge to help fuel all of this. So four separate joint ventures out of one telephone call with four separate people.
Okay. So, and I know that there's a few other joint ventures that you've put together here. How does, so and the people that you mentioned, so three are very well established in the internet world already. So you, David Preston, Deborah, and Steve is establishing himself. And now he's jumped up another level. How does one go about creating joint ventures? Where do you start from to get to that point?
So here's the funny part about all of the examples I've just shared with you, from Stephanie and Dr. Jill all the way through David and Steve and Deborah. Every one of them became possible simply through the process of talking to other people. I didn't just sit down and talk to Stephanie and say, okay, Stephanie, how can we joint venture with one another? I didn't just go to David and say, David, I've got a product. Will you sell it for me? Let's joint venture. None of them happened from that kind of a thing. And usually when people are just starting out in joint ventures, when they hear the term joint venture, they immediately assume they've got to have a product. They've got to have a concrete idea of how they're going to sell that product. And only when they've got that in place can they go out and contact the right people to get them on board with the joint venture. And so when they're starting out from that standpoint, they make a giant mistake and they contact people that they perceive to be prospective JV partners who are really just competitors. They get them on the phone and they say, hey, this is so-and-so. I was calling to see if you might want a joint venture with me. And if the person even talks to you for a couple of minutes, it will be a small miracle, because more often than not, they simply hang up the phone. The first words out of your mouth should not be, hey, do you want a joint venture with me? The reason that all of these have become so big so fast, and all of them seem to fit so well, is because they all occurred in the same way. They occurred during the course of conversation while keeping a very open mind to the possibilities. And at the basis of all of them is one key thing, and that is serving someone better. All of them stem from the idea of how can I do a better job of serving a given audience, without one exception. So in going about finding joint ventures for your own business, especially if you're starting out, but even if you're already there and making seven or eight figures, it's all about building a win-win-win proposition. That means a win for you, a win for your JV partner, and a win for the end user, the customer. Many times, the best joint ventures come not from the win for you or the win for your JV partner, but they really come from first worrying about the win for the customer. And in all of the JVs that I've talked about so far today, that win for the customer is the biggest win of all. Will all of us make more money because of these JVs? Sure. But it's really small compared to how much the customer gains when we work all of these joint ventures. So you want to figure out what are those wins and how can you better serve someone, some specific audience. No matter what stage you're at in your business, if you start by thinking hard about how can I better serve my audience, and while really keeping that at the forefront of your mind, you go out and build relationships with other people who are also serving the same audience. Now, notice I did not say with your competitors, because they're different. They're not your competitors that you're looking for. You're looking for people that serve the same audience. And quite often, it would be even better to say, find people who serve the same audience who are not competitors. That would be even better.
Right.
So David and I really don't compete with one another. We serve the same audience, but from different directions. That's not challenging to find at all when you really know who your audience is. If you then go out and start building relationships with other people who are serving the same audience and just get to know one another, as you're talking, always keep the idea of serving your audience better at the forefront of your mind. And just through conversation, you are likely to find JV after JV after JV dropping in your lap. Now, in order for that to happen, you've got to be able to understand from a structural standpoint the different types of joint ventures and what each one requires to bring them to fruition. You can use joint ventures to get any asset that you need in your business, from building a list to driving traffic to creating a product to launching a product to getting a sales force. Any and all of those are possible when using joint ventures. If you can tap into other people who already have those assets and use their assets to get assets of your own, you can grow in record time. You can grow even bigger than you ever thought imagined. But you've got to find those people who have those assets. So step one, start thinking about how you better serve your audience. Step two, go out and build strategically as many relationships as you can with others who are serving the same audience, preferably not your competitors. And step three, as you do that, really start looking at how you can get any asset you need in your business. So really identify the assets you need and then go forward in building the relationship.
Gina, can we back up for a minute? For people who don't know where to find folks in their particular niche or area, people who are serving a similar audience, how do you find these great JV potential joint venture partners?
There are so many different ways that you can go about finding these JV partners. One of the fastest, easiest ways of finding them is to go to seminars that are really for people who serve your audience. So if there are industry-specific seminars for your market or niche, going to those kinds of seminars could be invaluable for finding those people. Going to JV Alert, which is really all about, it's really attended by people in a wide variety of niches, all of them open to the idea of joint venturing in the first place. The next one is coming up June 12th to the 16th in Washington, D.C. That would be phenomenal. Just finding ways to hang out where these people are hanging out. Another way of going about it is to do some searches on the Internet. It's actually quite easy to locate JV partners and prospective JV partners using the Internet. I like to go to Google, and in Google, I put in some keywords that are related to my audience or my market. And at the end of that, I have this long search string that I include that is in parentheses, so it kind of has it set out separately. And I'm looking for ebook, forum, interview, teleconference, words that would indicate that there is a real person behind it as opposed to some big conglomerate or some huge business behind it. So I might put in real estate with quotes around real estate, then a space, and then open parentheses, ebook or forum or what else can I put in there? Teleconference or interview, close parentheses. And I'll put a whole long string like that together to narrow down the search results as small as possible. Maybe a couple hundred if I can get it down that low. Because I really want the people, not just the businesses.
Right.
And from the search results, Now I've got a list that I can at least go and take a look and see, are there real people behind these businesses? I will always first look to their websites for their contact info, but if it's not readily available on the website, I use a tool called the JV Suite Toolbar. It's one of my own tools. If you go to JV Suite, S-U-I-T-E, JVSuiteToolbar.com, J-V-S-U-I-T-E, Toolbar.com, you can download a copy of this toolbar for free. So when you get the search results, all you've got to do is highlight the URL on the search results page. And once you highlight it, it automatically copies it and pastes it into the toolbar for you just by highlighting it. And then there's a small arrow that is it opens a drop-down box. You hit the drop-down box, and it says domain tools. And what that does is it goes out to a site, and it does a search to find out who owns this domain. It'll show you a screenshot of the site. It'll show you how much traffic that site gets, the keywords that it uses in its meta tags. It'll show you how well optimized that site is for the search engines, and it will give you information to contact that domain owner. So by using the JV Suite Toolbar, I now have an easy way of finding contact info for any domain name owner I want. There is another tool on that toolbar that would allow me just to put the word real estate with quotes around it in the little search box. And when I hit the drop-down box this time, instead of saying domain tools, I tell it find JV partners. And it goes and uses this long search string that I use for my searches and does a specialized search for you to be able to pull up all of the website owners or whatever keywords you're doing your search on. And then you can finalize that by just copying and then going to domain tools, because it's a two-step process. You need the list first, and then you need the contact info second. So between seminars and Google searches, you should be able to find as many JV partners as you could ever hope to have.
Okay, seminars, Google search, and JV Suite Toolbar, which I think that kind of puts it all in at your fingertips. Still got to go out.
It really does.
It's a good starting place. Plus, you know who to go meet when you get to those seminars.
We're putting together a new toolbar for the 30-day IM challenge. And when the seventh one launches in about 10 days, it will have its own toolbar. And part of that toolbar will be this Find JV Partners component, because it is really an unbelievably kick-butt kind of tool. I have people that have put together joint ventures of thousands of JV partners that they found just using the JV Suite toolbar.
And how long has that been around? That's been around for a couple of years now, hasn't it?
About 3 years, I think.
Okay. All right. So we've kind of started to figure out what people out there need. We found our JV partners. And now you said one of the next steps is then you need to really start looking at how you can get any asset you need for your business.
Mm-hmm.
And what you meant by that.
Sure. So you want to, while you're out contacting these people, you're not really going to be out there asking them to JV with you initially. Instead, you're really just going to go build relationships with these people. Get to know them, let them get to know you. While you're doing that, you simultaneously need to be sitting down and building the strategic plan for your business. How are you going to go about building this business? What do you want to achieve 3 to 5 years from now for this business and with this business? What are you going to need in order to achieve those goals 3 to 5 years from now? So maybe you decide that 3 to 5 years from now you want this business to be making $100,000 a year. What does that mean and how do you do that should be your next question. Well, in order to make $100,000 per year, you're going to need to have products to sell. That's an asset that you need for your business. In order to make $100,000 per year, you're going to need to have a list, an opt-in or subscriber list of a certain size. That's also another asset that you need in your business. You're obviously going to need traffic to a website or traffic to something that you can use to make those sales of that product. You need to determine how much traffic do you need and allow that strategic process to go forward to help you do a better job of actually doing the marketing and whatnot. This is exactly what we cover in the first two lessons of the 30-Day IM Challenge, which is completely free at www.30dayimchallenge.com, 30dayimchallenge.com.
And Gina, when does the next IM Challenge start?
Starts in about 10 days or so. I'm not at a calendar right now, but I think it's around the 20th.
Okay, thank you.
We're just finishing up the sixth one. We should be announcing winners later this week.
Okay, so we're figuring out what products we need to sell, list. We say, okay, we need this list, and this might be one of the reasons we're joint venturing, so we can help grow our list in addition to using traffic to grow our list.
Yeah.
Get some joint ventures going. What else do we need to do? We've got our strategic business plan here saying, okay, we want $100,000 and $200,000 and $500,000, plus the other goals. Like, as you said, you want to help 1 million people live the life of their dreams. What else
right.
do you think about as we're looking at creating these strategic alliances and partnerships?
Well, there's different formulas that I use to create different types of joint ventures. There's a very specific process I would use to do a list-building joint venture. I would use a slightly different process for creating a traffic joint venture. I would use yet another different process to do a product creation joint venture. Essentially, the principles are all the same. They're still all about doing that win-win-win proposition and creating that from the JV partners. But the tactics of what you do are still going to differ slightly from one kind of joint venture to the next. There's literally an infinite number of possible joint ventures out there. They can be any combination of things, a list-building traffic generation joint venture, for example, a product creation slash product launch joint venture. You can do combinations of those things. But essentially, they all boil down to having that win-win-win proposition and what I call having the big three in place. And the big three are having an absolutely killer product or service, not just an ordinary average kind of product or service, but a really awesome, great product, one that stands out from the crowd. That's step, the first part of the big three. The second part of the big three is having an even better USP or unique selling proposition. Your USP is that which distinguishes you from your competition. It's the why would I want this in the equation. And the third part of the formula is having a package to tie the first two together. That package consists of a number of components. It consists of a marketing plan to sell the product, a marketing plan to sell the joint venture, websites, and promotional materials. So after I've got the win-win-win proposition, I go about putting together the big three, as I like to call them. But the laying out of the tactics of, okay, step one is this, step two is that, step three is this, is really going to differ from one kind of joint venture to the next. And that's exactly what I'm going to be covering this weekend in the JV Systems Workshop. If you've got a template, a formula that you can use to create any of these joint ventures that you want in order to get the assets that you need, now you can take that template and apply it to any scenario and always know that you're going to have a successful joint venture. If you need a list, you'd use the formula for a list-building joint venture. You'd go plug it in, you'd do your thing, step by step, you'd build a list-building joint venture. For me to sit down and give you all of the templates and the formula for each of these different types of joint ventures, we'd probably be here 20 to 30 hours just to get that info to you, because there's so many different steps, because the big three are complicated. But once you've got that all lined up and all outlined and down on paper and you can clearly see it, then it's easy. It's the same mechanical formula being applied to every different relationship and every different set of circumstances. So what we're going to be doing this weekend is we're getting together in a webinar, and in that webinar, we're going to spend 2 full days from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. going through all these different types of joint ventures, which is going to be fabulous. I am so excited about it because I've not had a chance to do this with joint ventures before. And as the JV queen, I'm just like, wow, why did I never do this before now? So this will be the first time. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the first time for creating the content you're going to learn. These are going to be the exact same systems and formulas that I've used in all the JVs that I've put together. We're going to go through each one at a time. In the webinar, I'm going to lay out a flowchart so that you can clearly see exactly how each one of these is built. And once we've got the flowchart put together, we'll go on to jointly create a checklist that says, okay, step one, do this. Step two, do that. Step three, do this. And by the end of that weekend, you already will know exactly what you need to do in order to create joint ventures for your business. All you need to do at that point is start building relationships so that the right JV partners can fall into your lap. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
It does, absolutely. I'm curious. So we're going to go through this thing on the weekend. Soup to nuts, here's all the details, here's how you can put it together. For somebody who's never put together a joint venture before, what's the quickest time period? Let's say they attend the webinar this weekend. What's the quickest time period do you think somebody could put together a starter joint venture, whether it's list building or product building, and get that out there?
Does this person have contacts now?
No, they're new. They're brand new.
So if they're brand new, from getting the idea to finding the context to actually getting a something out there, if you gave yourself a week, I think it's very doable. I think I've had a few people do it in less than a week, but a week is extremely doable. It might be a product creation joint venture so that in under a week you have your very first product with your name on it. It might be a list building joint venture so that in a week or less, you end up putting 500 to 1,000 names on your list, that would be huge. It might be a traffic generation joint venture so that you could go from having absolutely no traffic getting to your site to having, let's see, maybe about 5,000 to 10,000 people coming to your website every month within a week. That would be very doable. In fact, I've had people do at least that.
Brand new, 5,000 to 10,000 people every month within a week because of the joint venture.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
And get this. At the end of this weekend's workshop on Sunday, Steve Holmes that I was telling you about earlier, Steve's going to be on the call with me. And the reason he's going to be there is that he is, I'm so excited about this. I talked him into giving my workshop attendees two of the plugins that we were talking about earlier. The one that puts different things into the sidebar to help you monetize your blog, and another one that helps you drive traffic like you would not believe. I saw one site that used a similar concept to bring in more than 1 million visitors a month in under 90 days, starting from scratch.
Wow.
So two plugins that are going to do both of those things. He's going to be there that end of Sunday to be in a webinar and show you exactly step by step how to use these, and I'll be showing you at the same time how to use them with joint ventures so that you can get the kind of results we're talking about right now. Now, of course, no results are guaranteed. The way that any of this works is that you've got to take action on it. You've got to go and apply what you learn to your business in order to get a result. But if you do apply it, you are going to get results. And that's part of why 2 weeks after this weekend's workshop, we'll be getting back together again in a Q&A call, so that after you've had a chance to apply it and after you've had a chance to try it, we can then come back together and get all of your questions answered. And I can always tell who's been doing work and who hasn't after one of these workshops by the questions that get asked when we get back together 2 weeks later. I do it the same way every time. 2 weeks later, we get back into a session to do Q&A. And that might be a couple hours. I think one of the ones that I did was about 6 hours, the one for traffic back in December, because there were so many questions, which was wonderful. But the people who actually have questions are the people who actually tried this technique that you're learning about that weekend. And those that are just sitting there going, yeah, well, I don't really have any questions, it's usually because they didn't do anything to try what they just learned. There are going to be some really simple types of joint ventures that you can realistically put to use in that 2 weeks between the workshop and the Q&A call. And I expect that every person on the call would be able to go and use those couple of strategies to do even small joint ventures immediately after the call. I would say if you really go and do these things, even in a couple of days, you could start seeing results.
Now, Dina, I know you teach a lot of these techniques throughout, for example, your apprenticeship program, and you start to go into it in your IM 30-day challenge as well.
Right.
What are some, so you gave us an example of Steve, and who's one of your students who put together joint ventures. I know you have other students who put together joint ventures as well. Can you tell us an example of somebody else who's done something who, they weren't necessarily, you know, they weren't a big JV person when they went into it?
Sure. So one of my other students is now one of my coaches. His name is Craig Blair. When Craig first got started in the apprenticeship program, he was someone who really didn't know a lot about internet marketing. Until then, he had worked for the U.S. government for like 30 years. He was in his 60s. He lost his job because of our wonderful economy and really needed to find a way to do things differently to make a living quickly. So he came into the apprenticeship program in July. Now, 3 months later, we learn blogging in the apprenticeship program. That whole third month is about building your blog, using your blog to drive traffic. And the fourth and fifth month are all about joint ventures. Well, we started learning about blogging in that course, and he got really excited about the possibilities with the blog. He applied everything that he had learned and brought in an opt-in subscriber list of about 320, maybe a little under that, people in under a month. That was pretty darn good. He was doing all the right stuff. In his fourth month, as we moved into joint ventures, he decided to use one of the techniques that I'll be talking about this weekend, one of the quick and easy kinds of joint ventures that you can use. He did that with 20 joint venture partners. Took him about 7 to 10 days to put the whole thing together, to find the people that he needed to participate in this joint venture, to get the whole thing set up. Nothing really complicated, nothing massively technical. He just used his blog to do this. But from those 20 different people, he ended up with a new list of over 800 people. And he ended up bringing in about $4,800 that month. Well, that was his smallest month ever. Since then, every month thereafter, he's continued to grow. that's very typical for someone who is using the strategies we'll be talking about this weekend. Very typical example.
Okay, that's a pretty good example. So from in about a week and a half after learning these joint venture techniques you taught, this guy, brand new on the internet, gets together 20 joint venture partners, uses this secret technique that you're going to talk about during this webinar this weekend, and brought in a list of, grew his list from 320 to over 800 people, brought in 4,800 that month, and it's grown each and every month since?
Yes.
I think that's what people are looking to do. I think that's what they're looking to do. Now, for those who, you know, we have getting that list started, I think, is the biggest challenge. Once you get it started and you understand how to bring it in, both using traffic and with joint ventures, I think from there the momentum just grows. But it's getting it started, pushing that snowball over the hill. And I have seen what you're teaching here, both in traffic as well as joint ventures, work over and over and over again.
And it really is all about getting that momentum going. Until you get to the point of having a list, it's like you're pushing that snowball up the hill. And when you finally do something that brings that list in, the snowball kind of rounds the crest of the mountain, if you will. And from there on out, it's all downhill. And it's just going to keep growing and picking up speed all the way down that hill. But you've got to have a vehicle to get you over that hill. It's kind of a thing that tows the snowball up the hill, if you will. And joint ventures are a wonderful way of doing that exact thing, carrying the snowball up the hill for you.
Do you think that's one of the quickest ways to get going? Let's say somebody who's a part of your 30-day challenge and they're just getting started putting up their blog and they're learning the different techniques you teach to bring traffic, which, again, every time I show somebody new the techniques you teach, just the first ones, and they start going from nothing to a few visitors a day to 10 to 20 to 50, it's
they're blown away.
Their jaw drops. Yep, if you've never gotten visitors before for free, the jaw drops.
And the best part about it is it's not a system that creates 100 visitors today and no visitors tomorrow.
Right.
The system creates consistent traffic. So you're going to get the same kind of traffic today as you will tomorrow. And over time, it just gradually grows. It's kind of like a 45-degree angle on your graph that has the line going straight up. That's what the system does automatically. So it is very impressive. Yes, blogging can help you get started, but even with blogging, until you've got a significant amount of traffic that is coming daily, consistently, even that is not going to necessarily bring you in consistent income from every month on. You're probably going to need somewhere around 1,000 to 2,000 visitors a day in order to get to the point where you're making consistent money every single day. Well, that's going to take you a while. It's going to take you at least 90 days of blogging every single day to make that happen. On the other hand, with a joint venture that you use for list building purposes, you can potentially have a list of several hundred to 1,000 people in as little as a week. And once you've got those people on your list, now you can go and use those people to drive the traffic to your blog. And that really kickstarts the blog and kind of takes it up a notch. So if you were already getting 100 people a day to your blog and you built a list of, say, 500 new subscribers who were not necessarily subscribed to your blog, they were subscribed to your list. Well, instead of getting 100 people a day to the website, just because of what you've got with the list happening, you're likely to get more like 300 to 500 people a day just from having those extra people coming from the list, having them tell the people they know, and so on. So it really can make things grow much faster. And the traffic that comes through that blog from your list is going to convert at a lot higher rate. If you were just driving the traffic using the simple six-step process for blogging, for 1,000 visitors a day coming through, it would make you about the same money as having a list that's driving only 200 to 300 visitors a day. So it's really massive leverage. You make a lot more money with a lot less effort.
I'm thinking that we need to focus on joint ventures early on and rather than later on. And I think, well, I know this to be true. For a lot of kind of newbie people that I speak with, a joint venture seems a long ways off because it seems like
it does.
You only do if you're a big-time internet marketer. But
yeah, and it's a big mistake that gurus have made, and there's a reason that they make it. It's very intentional on their part. Do you know why they don't talk about joint ventures being used early on?
Oh, that other people don't create joint ventures with their joint venture partners. I don't know.
Precisely. That's precisely it.
Okay.
They see that as their secret weapon. If somebody starts doing joint ventures in a big way, it can potentially hurt their business because of it, especially if they're teaching people who are in their same market. And they don't want to lose their JV partners. They don't want to not have the promotional power that they already have. So they simply leave that piece of the puzzle out. They let you fend for yourself. They make you go and do things in different ways. And it's completely and totally unnecessary. There are plenty of contacts to go around. I cannot think of a single industry where having joint ventures from the people in the market would preclude someone teaching it from actually having successful joint ventures for themselves as well. But that's not what the other gurus see. And so you don't find a lot of people talking about joint ventures for someone just starting out. One of my courses is a product called Secret Confessions of the JV Queen. It's been out for about 2 years now. And it really is, it's more of an ebook than anything else, but it's a culmination of lots of different things. This ebook uses that technology where the pages flip so it actually looks like a real book on your screen.
Right.
And as you go through it, there are a ton of audios in it. There are some videos in it. There are checklists in it. There are flowcharts in it. So it's a pretty big, massive course in and of itself. I've had people tell me that it's taken them 90 to 120 days just to get through the content of that course. Now, once they're through it all, they've got checklists that they can use to go and create the different types of joint ventures. But it just, it's big. So I teach joint ventures early on in the apprenticeship program, early on in the bachelor's program, and even within the 30-day IM challenge, simply because joint ventures are so key to making your business get off the ground faster, to getting that snowball over the hill sooner, that kind of thing. And it does not need to be something that you've got to wait for. It simply means that in order to use joint ventures successfully, you've first got to identify your long-term goals and your long-term vision for your business. Then you need to identify the kinds of assets you need. So the kinds of assets that someone just getting started needs are going to be vastly different than the kinds of assets that someone who's been around for 6 or 7 years will need. Doesn't mean that either one will use JVs more effectively or make more money with them. I've actually seen JVs where the newer person would make more money than a more experienced person. So it really will work for either one of them. You just need that system, that formula, that whatever you want to call it, to make it less overwhelming. And really, that's what it is. It's the overwhelm that scare people off from doing joint ventures. So even the Secret Confessions of the JV Queen course, there was a woman, her name was Dani, and Dani was from Queens, New York. She had never used joint ventures before. She was really new in starting her business. Her business involved network marketing, And she picked up the Secret Confessions of a JV Queen course because she had heard me on a teleconference saying those exact words, that joint ventures are something that every business owner should use as soon as possible in building their business, because they will grow faster as a result. Well, she was about a month into studying the materials when she finally stopped and called me, and she said, you know, I'm really stumped. I'm going through the materials, and I just can't see how you would apply joint ventures to network marketing. And that actually stumped me, because network marketing is the one industry that you really got to be creative using joint ventures in.
Right.
And the reason for it is you can't really track things very well. It just, there are no systems that allow you to track them well. And so we talked about it for a while, and we talked about the issue of tracking and whatnot. And she said, well, you know, if I'm understanding what you're saying right, I guess I don't need to use joint ventures just for what I'm doing in network marketing. I guess I could use them for other things I'm doing too, right? I'm like, well, absolutely. Tell me what else you're doing. Well, in her offline world, without regard to her business, she was involved in a philanthropic project in Queens, New York. She was helping homeless women and children. And so she decided for Martin Luther King Day a year ago that she would put together a joint venture to help serve this audience even better. Remember what I started with early on. The best joint ventures are those that focus on serving first, right?
Right.
So here's what she did. She brought together a bunch of different business owners to do a better job of serving her audience. She knew that on Martin Luther King Day, a number of businesses in Queens were likely to be closed. So she then went and contacted those companies that were going to be closed to see if she could get them on board to help her with this. It was a matter of finding the right win-win-win scenario. So first she contacted a bus company, found the bus company to come and pick up 500 homeless kids and take them from a shelter to a beauty shop and barber shop in the area where they would get their hair cut and kind of get a mini makeover, if you will. The buses then picked them up again from the beauty shops and the barber shops and brought them to a local department store where each kid got to pick out a brand spanking new outfit and they'd get to keep it. It would be theirs. They could pick out anything that they wanted. They then came and picked them up again and brought them to a number of restaurants that were five-star restaurants in Queens that were closed that day so that they could serve the kids a gourmet meal. And instead of just having food available for kids in a soup kitchen, they really created this whole experience for the kids, one that these children had never, ever, ever had before. Barbershops and beauty shops, well, that wasn't something these kids were used to. Getting a whole new outfit in a department store, many of the kids there had never even been into a department store, much less owned something from one. In a five-star restaurant, well, the only way they'd get food from a five-star restaurant was from the garbage cans out in the back. It was such a huge event that when Danny sent out a single press release to a couple of media outlets in Queens, it got picked up by all the media. It was on radio, and it was on TV, and it was on everything under the sun. For days, it was on all of it. And because of that exposure, every single business that participated in this was booked solid for months to come.
Wow.
Which was really amazing. So you can use joint ventures for so many different things. It doesn't even need to be related to your business. What Danny has now done is she had so many other businesses contact her, begging her to do this again because they wanted the exposure that it brought the first set of businesses. that she was really able to make her job in serving these homeless kids so much easier. All she had to do was put one of these things together, and people were flocking to her to do it. She didn't even have to go looking for them. And from doing that, a number of other joint ventures came out of it, where she would be putting different business owners together to work with one another, and they would then pay her a percentage of the additional revenues or the additional sales that she drove in for them. So there's lots of possibilities is the point. You've got to start with how do you serve that audience, and then you just need to know the formula.
You know, Dina, you have me thinking a few weeks ago we were with David Preston, who talked about schools and something that what he was doing there was a way to do fundraisers. And I'm in talks with my daughter's school to figure out a better fundraiser than the current, you know, sell Christmas cards and candy thing, which I despise. And I think most parents do. And this is interesting. You have me thinking that we could create a completely different event using a joint venture, so the possibilities are endless.
Oh, sure. They really are. I mean, even here in Naples, my cousins have their restaurant that they're just opening, and we've used joint ventures to help get their restaurant off the ground. So they have been so successful that literally this past Mother's Day, Sunday, they were one of the only restaurants in the area because of the economy. Restaurants are suffering big time. They were one of the only restaurants in the area that you could not even book a reservation in because they were that packed. And most of the other restaurants had empty tables. Not them. They turned up tables over 3 times on Sunday, which was huge. And it's a big restaurant. It's not small. It's fairly large. They can seat about 300 people at a time. And it's because of joint ventures.
Joint ventures. Okay. So for people who are listening and like the idea of 7 to 10 days from the time of the webinar, even if they don't yet have contacts, and if they do have contacts, obviously this can get bigger, quicker, better.
Sure. Better. Absolutely.
How do people find out about, how can they attend the webinar, which they can attend at from home?
So you want to go to www.theimuniversity.com/JV-systems, plural, www.theimforMarketingUniversity.com/J for Jokester, V for Victor, -systems, S like Sam, Y, S like Sam, T like Tom, E, M like Mary, S, JV-systems, and reserve your seat. You don't need to leave home. You're going to do this right from your home on your computer. You can call in either through your computer, so you don't even have to have a phone line if you don't want one, or through your telephone. The choice is up to you. It's super simple. You're not just going to listen. You're going to see. And as we go forward throughout the weekend, the lines are going to be unmuted for the most part. I really do that intentionally because I want you networking with the other people that are on the call. And as you do that, in the bottom part of the webinar screen, it'll even show you who's talking. So you'll be able to put names to voices. And hopefully, by the end of this, you will not just come out having an idea of what the formula is for all these different types of joint ventures, but you'll really come out of it having contacts that you can use to help get started in joint ventures. That's also why we even have a special area of the forum set up for all of you to network with one another. And you'll also get a free ticket to Ken MacArthur's JV Alert in Washington, D.C., June 12th to the 16th, when you reserve your ticket for the JV Systems Workshop, Saturday and Sunday, May 16th and 17th. If you missed it and you're listening to this recording, don't worry. Go to the same link. All of it was recorded. You're going to pay a little bit more, but all of it was recorded, and you can go and download the whole course now.
Okay. Well, Tina, now I have learned a lot from and put together some smaller joint ventures, and as you know, have another one launching. Because of what you've taught, I will definitely be there this weekend because I know I'm going to learn even more that I missed the first, second, and perhaps third time. So I can't wait, as well as to network with the other people who are going to be there, because there's always room for more.
There really is. And JVs just give you limitless possibilities for your business. There isn't anything bigger than that. It is more profitable than blogging. It is something that can really make you into an expert instantly and can help you serve even more people. So I hope to see all of you this weekend on the JV Systems Workshop. And next week, we will be back again at noon Eastern here on Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, Jennifer.